from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Roz,
yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
So, Maury calls me last night, and...
You immediately hit ignore, then he called back.
Yeah, so Maury called. Let me start over. Maury called me four times last night.
Okay.
And he goes, "Hey, I just discovered that there's something that I've never done that I'd really love to do." And at first, I'm thinking like in life.
Sure.
And he goes, "I go, well, what is it that you've never done that you're desperately wanting to do?" And he goes, "Tug of war."
What?
Okay. So, Maury, explain. So, how have you, all those years that you went to camp, how did you never do tug of war?
I just never participated. I wasn't strong enough.
Oh.
I was too afraid to do it.
But not even like school and stuff?
Never. Never.
Like in gym?
Never.
Like when elementary school, like high school, never. Everything. Nothing. We used to always.
I skipped gym. I didn't want to go to gym.
So Maury says, "Hey, if I go and buy all the stuff, do you think that Mocha will go at me with tug of war tomorrow?" And I immediately say, "For sure he will." So Maury says, "Okay, what do I need?" And I go, "I need some duct tape so I can put some lines on the floor.
Yeah.
I need rope. Uh-huh. And I need a little piece of ribbon for the middle of the rope so I can tell as the referee when it crosses a line."
Sure.
And so Maury goes, "Okay, check. I'll go get all the stuff and I'll bring it in tomorrow." So Maury got all the stuff and he brought it in today.
Uh-huh.
So first things first.
Okay. Black tape.
Got black tape for the floor.
Okay.
And then I was like, "Okay, Maury, where's the rope?" And he hands me the rope. And this is what Maury hands me.
Pink twine?
Yeah, twine.
That's from the dollar store.
Yeah, twine. But... not rope, twine.
What's the difference between twine and rope?
There's a huge difference between...
One is twine, the other one is actual rope.
Yeah, diameter, I would say, is the difference between twine and rope.
Like,
so,
you can't do anything
so
with that.
If you wrap this around your hand, Maury, and you understand that if Mocha starts tugging on it, it will cut your hand, right?
So don't wrap it?
But anyway, this is all we have. We have pink twine that Maury brought
okay.
in, not rope, but pink twine. Like, this is the kind of stuff you tie up old newspapers with. Like, you have to understand.
Like, with all due respect, and in theory, same thing.
Okay. So, I have the pieces here.
Okay.
So, and some people, Maury.
So, we're going to tug of twine.
You're going to tug of twine. Yeah, we're gonna tug of twine right now. And what's your technique going to be for this, Maury?
Pull.
Okay, but some people, the guy on the end, the anchor, oftentimes they wrap it around their waist. Did you know about this?
If you said it's going to slice my wrist, is it going to slice my waist?
No, it might cut you in half. You might get halved today if you did that.
Sometimes they like wrap the rope like around their forearm
and then their
hand.
All I've ever seen is men hold it like,
yes.
You know, like
okay.
Straight out.
Okay, so.
That's what she said.
Okay, so I will, give me 1 second. Let me get over here. Okay, so if you come over here, Mocha, to this microphone.
Can you tell me, like, by the way, how do you know when you've won?
Okay, so you see that there's lines on the floor.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's lines on the floor. There's you each have two lines in front. Mocha, how did you get this in a knot already? Just stop, Mocha. Just take your end and just.
I have an end.
Okay, pull that towards you.
Yes.
Pull it tight.
Okay.
Okay, so... Mocha, this is all your rope. Now,
okay,
gentlemen, so you'll see that you each have two lines in front of you.
Yeah.
The line closest to you is a line that you have to stand behind.
Wait, okay. Hang on. Are you wrapping the rope around your waist then?
Yeah, I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Or you're going to have to make it tighter, bro. Like, I need tension.
Okay. So I guess I have to wrap it around my waist?
No, you don't have to. You can do anything. You can just hang on to it if you want to. There's no rules that you need to follow.
Okay.
And I would not follow Maury's lead on this because he does look like he's about to get halved. Okay,
can
so
you
Mocha's,
stop if I'm slicing?
So Mocha's wrapping it around his arm. He's got his hoodie pulled all the way down, the sleeve of his hoodie pulled all the way down.
Tighter, eh?
Okay, now here's the thing, Maury. Your foot cannot go over that line right there. So behind that line, get behind that line. Your foot is on. No, behind the line.
Which line?
No wonder your dad never played with you.
Oh my gosh.
What?
What
did I say?
Mean stuff.
Okay.
I almost had to call 911 there.
Okay, so gentlemen, so you know the rule here. Maury,
hold on. Can you just explain again?
See this blue ribbon? Yeah. See this blue ribbon? You have to try and get this blue ribbon past this first line.
Okay.
Mocha, you have to try and get this blue ribbon past this line. You have to get it into your end zone, basically.
Can I just point out, this isn't going to work.
Okay.
It's not going to work. And I know why.
Okay.
But I won't say it until it happens.
Okay. So, gentlemen, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, tug of twine. Oh,
God damn it, that hurt.
Okay, so
that's exactly what I knew was going to happen, but I didn't want to say.
Okay, so.
Because again, we're using twine and not actual rope.
So it broke in half.
And it snapped on my hand.
And snapped Maury in the hand. Okay, maybe tomorrow, guys?
Okay, take two tomorrow.
Okay, maybe tomorrow.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So it was tug of twine yesterday, did not work out. What do you have today?
I stopped by my gym yesterday to borrow.
Sorry. Sorry.
I'm a member, haven't gone in a while. Yeah, I owe them money.
How much do you owe them?
$400.
There you go.
Okay. Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, what up, Greco?
Okay,
So I brought in their battle ropes.
Yes.
Because I figured this thing would be the accurate tug of war
thing. And this is one of those big giant ropes that you see like The Rock and stuff, like doing the waves with, right? Okay, so we know how this works. You got to stand behind your lines. There's other lines in there. It's kind of like your end zone. All you have to do is get the ribbon, which is tied into the middle of the rope, over into your end zone. Mocha will be
also
trying to do the same thing.
Also, first, I found the middle of a rope.
Okay, that's right. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to come over onto your side now.
What will be, Maury, your technique is what now? You're going to wrap this around your waist?
Yeah, I've wrapped it around my waist and tied it in a knot.
And tied it in a knot?
Well, come on. I don't know if that's allowed.
What?
I don't know. That's not fair.
Well, yeah, I can do
anything.
You
can't tie it. You can't tie it.
Okay.
You can't tie it.
Even around your waist. No,
Yeah, you can. Guys, the guy on the end, the anchor often wraps it around his waist.
I think both people, they have to do the exact same thing.
Dude, I Googled shirtless men tug of war and the guy had it wrapped around his waist.
So I have to wrap it around my waist then?
No, you don't have to.
No, I think it should be fair.
No, but this is fair. It's whatever the advantage you think is. I think, personally for me, I think it gives Maury a disadvantage to wrap it around his waist because Maury has no idea what he's doing and he's going to lose his balance in 2 seconds.
All right.
So you can do whatever you want to do.
By the way, thanks for the tip, Ross.
No props. So, grab your ropes, gentlemen. Keep them nice and tight.
Okay.
So here, you gotta grab somewhere closer to here. Like, you gotta grab like here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now, wait, Mocha. And if you cross the line before I say go, we're gonna start over.
Okay.
Okay, so we're right in the middle here.
Yeah.
Maury, are you ready for your first round of tug of war ever? Mocha.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your first round of tug of war ever?
Yes.
Okay, gentlemen.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, tug of war! Okay, Mocha won. Okay.
Can we do it again? Just really quick?
Okay, what happened to you, Maury?
Keep in mind, my first time, I didn't know how hard it was going to be.
Okay, Mocha, please, just one more time. One more time, please, just once more, okay? That was a disaster. Maury.
Okay, now that I know how it's going to feel.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Okay, stop. Okay. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
In 3, 2, 1, tug of war. Okay. Okay. So, not only did Mocha just win again.
Oh, sorry.
But he just dragged Maury across the floor. Like he was tied to the back of a horse in the Old West. Maury, get over here, please. Are you okay?
It's still wrapped around me.
There you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Kiss 92.5, this is Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's me, Stefan.
What's up, Stefan?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's going on? What can we do for you?
So, I just got married, right? Remember I called you guys about a couple weeks ago? I was getting married.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Wow, you sound real happy.
That was like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks in. How's marriage?
So, what happened?
So before I met my wife, I used to hang out with a girl. And it's kind of like she gets jealous if I told her that we're talking. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, sure. We're just talking. She, like, I'll call her, see how she's doing. Yeah. But, like, if I tell her that, hey, I called her and I'm, like, seeing how she's doing, it's a problem.
So, what was this other girl to you prior to you meeting your current wife?
We were just, like two good-looking friends, and we'd go out to the club every weekend and party.
Okay, did you guys ever hook up?
No.
Really?
Never?
No.
Dude, if you can't be honest with us, you're not going to be able to be honest with your wife.
We've had, like, I've been honest with her. Like, I've told her we've made out, like, once, but, like, that was about it.
Yeah. How was it when you did make out?
It was good.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the time that you knew this girl that you're currently talking to, did you know your wife? Was she your girlfriend at the time, your wife?
No, I didn't know her at the time.
Okay, so after you met your current wife when she was your girlfriend, did she know about this other girl?
Yeah, I told her about her.
Okay, so why do you need to keep that girl around in your life that you made out with and used to party with as two good-looking people going to the clubs? What's the importance of that?
Well, because my friend is saying, like, you've known me before your wife and we're just friends. What's the harm if we just talk?
Yeah, but what do you talk about, though?
We just talk about, like, what's going on in our life. Like,
So you're telling this girl, like about your marriage and stuff? Like, about you and your wife?
Yeah.
See, don't do that, dude.
Oh, wait, here's a question.
Don't do that.
Was this girl at your wedding 2 weeks ago?
No.
Okay.
Why was she not at your wedding if you guys are such good friends?
Because my wife gets jealous.
Yeah, but then, see, here's the thing, man. If you're going to make the case for this girl being just a friend, then you should have made that case that you want your friends at your wedding. And if you and this girl are that close, then she should have been on the guest list, and you should be sort of like integrating her into your life as one of your friends who's going to be part of your life moving forward. But it's not. You just sort of like to keep this girl on the side, call her every now and then, and tell her about your wife, which is not cool.
Well, like, I don't really tell her. Like,
no, but you're sharing secrets with her, though. You're sharing secrets with another
woman.
Here's
a question. Does that girl, your friend, does that girl have a boyfriend?
No.
How do you think her boyfriend would feel knowing that she was talking to a married man?
When she was seeing a guy at the time, she would also, like, not, like, hook up with other guys, but she would get numbers from other guys at the club.
Okay, so this girl's terrible. And you're being terrible too. I don't want to single her out. Listen, dude, if you've got a brand new marriage, you love your wife?
Yeah, of course.
Do you love this other girl?
No.
Okay. So this girl,
I don't know.
This girl was really nothing to you other than somebody good looking that you used to go party with, right? So it's not even like it's some lifelong friend that you're going to be heartbroken if she's no longer in your life, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So why are you hanging on to her? Because you think that maybe if something goes wrong with you and your wife, you guys keep this girl close just so you can smash that afterwards?
No, that's not the case. It's just, it's like, you know, when you have like a buddy and you joke around with the buddy and you like, You crack jokes and you can get along with. It's kind of like that. It's nothing like,
but you made out though.
But that's like a while ago.
Yeah, but you still made out. Let me ask you a question. Your friend, this girl, the good-looking girl you used to party with.
Yeah.
She ever mess around with a married guy?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Anyway, dude, I think
you know what the answer is. You just need that validation, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you need to say it out loud. What's that? What's the answer?
I should just drop her completely.
Clean break, bro. Okay? Yeah.
And it's only going to be bad news, man, because, you know, like, put yourself in your wife's situation. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are 2 weeks into this marriage, man, and you don't want your wife having that on her mind every single time she looks at you.
Yeah.
Or anytime you're not in the room, she's got to be wondering whether or not you're texting or talking to this other woman.
And Mocha brought up the best point is, if this woman, your friend, is such a good friend, she would have been at your wedding 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But she wasn't. So she's your good time Charlie on the side.
Yeah.
Don't do that to your wife.
Text her one more time right after you get off the phone with us.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you exactly what to text, okay?
Okay.
Bye, Felicia.
It was fun while it lasted.
Okay. Get this girl out of your life. Okay, you got a wife.
Terrible.
Get this girl out of your life.
Just go live your married life.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm completely super happy, by the way.
Okay.
Never been happy.
Yeah, you sound it.
All right, Stefan, thanks for the call, bro.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mocha, let's talk about Air Transat.
Oh, love to.
More than 60 destinations. How many, can you name 60 destinations?
Like between down south Europe, Canada, and the U.S.?
Yeah.
Down south Europe, Canada, and U.S.
But the great thing is, when you're working with Air Transat, you got to choose Option Plus. This is the set of privileges that gets you stuff like seat selection, priority check-in, dedicated counter, the best priority boarding, and priority baggage handling. And if that's not enough, you get that extra piece of luggage in case you want to bring another bikini or two.
What? Plus, they'll throw in some extras, make you feel like a big shot when you're on that plane. They'll hook you up with earbuds, a beverage, goodies to eat. Enhance your Air Transat flight with Options Plus. Remember that, Options Plus. You can learn more at airtransat.com.
I will do that right now, but in the meantime, you guys want to play 5 and 7?
Dude, first one of 2018.
I haven't done this in a while.
This is 5 and 7.
Oh, yes. Damn it, Warrior, are you ready? Very easy game.
Please explain, if anyone's listening for the very first time, how on the Roz and Mocha Show do we play 5 and 7?
Very simple. We will ask Maury to name 5 things. He has 7 seconds to name those 5 things. Maury.
Yes.
Name 5 English-speaking countries.
Okay, well, Canada, U.S., England, well, like all of them.
Loser. All of what?
The world.
All of the world?
There's like somebody in everywhere.
No, English-speaking countries. Like, where English is the predominant language. Where English
like
is
what
the first.
We're speaking right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
English.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like Canada, England, here. Like,
what do you mean
Canada,
here? I mean. Okay.
What is going.
USA.
Okay, yeah.
Ireland.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Also would have given you New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Would have given you Australia.
I don't know that, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why we ask. Maury,
mm-hmm.
Name 5 sounds animals make.
Woof. Meow.
What was that last one? It sounded like you went,
Okay. You you could have said bark, meow.
He didn't have to Oink. Do the actual noises. Especially that last one. We where you went, oh.
Yeah, that's very difficult.
That was a horse one.
Okay, it's very, very difficult to judge those. Okay, Maury,
yeah?
Name 5 things you can do with 1 foot.
Stand on it. Kick a ball. Kick a ball. Knock.
Sorry, what? Knock what?
I mean, like, knock snow off it when you're getting into a car.
Okay, yes. Would have given you a balance on 1 foot. You can kick a ball. You can kick a person. You can hop.
Massage it.
You can drive with 1 foot. Okay, so all things you can do with 1 foot. Maury,
mm-hmm.
Name 5 words that rhyme with shampoo.
Shampoo. I got to.
Loser.
Not sentences, just okay. Words.
Would have given you tattoo.
Oh.
Would have given you cuckoo. Would cuckoo. Have given you voodoo. I would have even given you Hebrew. Rhymes with shampoo.
Should just pick words that end in ooh.
Yeah, kung fu. Oh. Fondue, I would have given you. Okay, finally, Maury, name 5 other words for bum.
Ass. Tuchus. Are there 5? Cheeks.
Loser.
What was the last one?
Cheeks.
Yes. Would have given you tushy.
Tushy. That's what Nana calls me.
Also.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So the Queen Elizabeth Mocha, has fired her royal bra fitter.
What?
Yes, there's a royal bra fitter.
How'd you get that
so
gig?
She's had it forever. So it was a company called Rigby and Peller, and the woman was named June Kenton, and she's been fitting the Queen and Margaret with their bras forever.
Yeah.
She goes in, and she is the royal bra fitter. And she wrote a book called Storm in a D Cup.
Okay.
And
great title, by the way.
Great title. And she wrote this book, and in the book, she said some private things that went on in Buckingham Palace during some of these fittings. Some of them, most of them were just very innocuous, just generic sort of things.
Yeah.
What it's like standing in the room with the queen, fitting her for a bra with the 2 corgis staring at her. just that kind of stuff. But anyway, so the queen fired her. So the queen fired her royal bra fitter that had been with them forever because she spoke secrets about what went on. So where we are right now is June Keaton is out of work and the queen is out of a bra fitter.
Oh, no.
Right. So if you want to call Buckingham Palace, we'll get the latest from the queen herself.
No spoilers.
Good morning, Queen Mom. It's Roz and Mocha.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, we're reading this story here that you've fired your royal bra fitter. Can you talk us through this? What happened?
Oh, my Golden Globes are getting more attention than the Golden Globes.
What?
Okay. Your Majesty, so this woman, June Keaton, had been in your life for a very long time, fitting you with bras. What is that process actually like now that the stories are all sort of getting out? Was what she said in the book accurate or no?
Oh, she'll be fine, but I'll keep you abreast of how she does.
Okay. Queen, since you've been in business with this woman and her company for 40 years, can you remember the very first...
I have tears!
No. Can you remember the very first time that you met for a bra fitting?
A dyslexic walks into a bra.
What?
Okay. Your Majesty, what sort of is it too forward to sort of ask that maybe what style of brassiere that you do find comfortable? Because I can't imagine it's going to be easy to find another royal bra fitter.
What did the bra say to the hat?
What did the bra say to the hat?
You go ahead while I give these to a lift.
Queen Mum, any favorite colors? Any colors that you dislike?
When was the last time Philip has touched a breast?
Oh
wow.
You fired this one for inside information. This sounds very personal, Your Majesty.
When? In a KFC bucket.
Okay. Poor Philip. Okay. You are, I imagine, on the hunt now for a new royal bra fitter. Are you taking applicants? Are you sourcing, vetting sort of new companies to come in and take over this this duty?
Why is a push-up bra like a bag of chips?
Why is a push-up bra like a bag of chips? I don't. What are you even talking about this morning, Your Majesty?
You open it. And it's half empty.
Okay.
since having an official bra fitter for you, Your Majesty, has anyone else in the royal family during the 40 years that you've been exclusive with this one company, has anyone else in the royal family expressed interest as well?
Why was the mermaid wearing seashells?
Why?
Her boobs were too big for bee shells.
So questions aren't going to be answered.
Poor Philip.
The only thing close to a bra near me now is my teacup.
Okay, so anyway, there you have it. The Rigby Impeller, the royal bra fitters for the queen since 1960 have been fired because of a book that the company head, June Keaton, wrote called Storm in a D-Cup. Your Majesty, thank you very much.
How do you catch a bra?
How do you catch a bra?
Set up a booby trap.
Queen Elizabeth, everybody. Queen Elizabeth.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
KS92.5. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Mocha?
Yo.
Hi, it's Liz. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Liz?
I love the show, and I just wanted to ask, are Roz and Maury secretly friends outside the show?
Roz and damn it, Maury?
Are we secretly friends? What do you mean secretly friends? Does it not sound like we're friends on the show?
Well, with Mocha and Maury, it seems like you guys have, like, really good banter, and Roz and Maury do, too. But I always feel bad for him. I feel like you guys, I just, hope that secretly, deep down, you're friends outside of the show.
Maury, come in here. I hope your day is not, I hope you're not having a good day, Maury, because it's about to get really late.
Like you guys hang out after work,
Or we have these amazing text conversations?
No, like text conversations, but you guys hang out and after work, you go for a drink.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Maury, do we hang out after work?
No.
No, we don't.
I've tried.
Liz, I'm going to read to you the latest.
That's so sad.
I'm going to read to you the latest conversation between Dan and Maury and I from yesterday via text. Okay.
I would love to hear it.
So we wrap up the show at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And at 10:19 yesterday, Maury sends me a text. Hey, fun show today. Good stuff. Have a good day. See you tomorrow. That was at 10:19 a.m.
Yeah. Sweet.
And that's so sad, though. Like, that's really sweet.
And at 7:26 last night, I replied, shut up.
Well, that definitely answers my question for sure.
Yeah. No. There is a relationship. I don't know if I would necessarily say
would you click
say,
it? It's complicated. Like if it was a Facebook thing?
A Facebook? Yeah. No, I wouldn't say it's complicated because there is a relationship, but I think that above any sort of friendship and everything else, I think the three of us have just all established that regardless of what happens, we're all just in this together.
Yeah.
And so we it just works that way. It works on that level as opposed to a friendship level. Like the greater good of what we all do and what we all create trumps any sort of friendship.
It's like overnight camp where you have to share a bunk with somebody.
No,
even if you
it's
like
not
them.
At all. It's not. What? It's not overnight camp at all, Maury.
What are you even talking about? Are you listening to this conversation right now?
It's not overnight camp because again, in every scenario of Maury describing the relationship on the show, even just now, he always leaves it open of the chance of possibly seeing one of us without our shirts on. And again, it's not going to happen. So no, it's not like overnight camp.
Thank you, Liz.
You guys are the best.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, question for you. Have you ever thrown your phone? Like you've been so mad at something you threw your phone?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I'm going through this survey here and 22% of people that they surveyed said that, yeah, they've gotten so angry at something that they've hurled their phone across the room.
I once threw my phone after you got angry at me.
After I got angry at you?
Yeah, I went out in the hall and threw my phone.
Here at work?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Oh, jeez.
I've thrown your phone.
I feel super proud about that, actually. I know I should be concerned.
You got him so mad that his reaction was to throw his own phone?
To me, that's an incredible achievement on my part. Do you remember what it was? Not important.
No. Thanks for your concern.
Yeah, no problem.
Ouch.
You ever cracked a screen on your phone?
No,
even
actually.
By just dropping it? No, you haven't. 62% of people say that they have.
I see people all the time because it's expensive to swap out the screen on your phone.
They're glass, you know.
And I've seen so many people where it just looks beyond shattered, but they're still using it.
Do you ever use your phone on the toilet?
Yes.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. I exclusively use my phone on the toilet. 94% of people said yes, including 79% said that they always use the phone on the toilet. I'm trying to think of the last time I used the toilet without my phone. It's forever ago.
Yeah. It's normal now.
Do you sleep with your phone in the bedroom?
Yes.
Yes.
It's on the nightstand beside me.
Now,
because it also doubles as my alarm clock.
See, that's me too. And I know that I fall into that category where everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't have your phone in the bedroom. But I'm like, it's also my alarm. So what am I to do in that case?
I use an old BlackBerry for my alarm.
Well, I do too. I use both.
Hmm.
92% of people
say that
they
do. Wait, why don't you just set two alarms on your iPhone?
Because my first one is just a straight vibrate, and the old BlackBerry vibrates really, like, it's at a tone that wakes me up. So
like shakes the house.
It's been waking me up for 15 years.
Sure.
Or however long it's been.
Used to it.
Yeah. This is the shocking one. 8% of people said that they keep their phone under the pillow.
Those are people who have secrets.
Thank you.
Right? There is no reason for anyone to keep their phone underneath the pillow. And don't say, oh, it's just so that I know that it's there.
No.
Or that it helps me fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or I hear the alarm better. If anyone is giving any of those excuses to you, they are lying and they have secrets on their phone that they don't want anyone else to see.
This sounds like somebody's given you all those lines before.
No, I'm
really
just saying.
Curious about that. Jeez. Maury, you ever kept the phone under the pillow?
Yes, all the time. Yes, all the time.
See? For any reasons that Mocha just mentioned.
Oh, just so I could hear it better.
Oh, yeah.
Evelyn tweeted us at Kiss925 and said, not everyone has secrets. I keep it under my pillow because our bedroom is too small for nightstands and I don't want to get up to snooze my alarm 3 times. My boyfriend knows my password and all of my secrets.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. Let me add that question before we get in here. Let me add that question to this before we take a phone call. What's the percentage of the room right now? Because I got Catherine. I've been with Catherine 10 plus years. Mocha's happily married with a little boy. Maury, you've been with Matthew for how long?
Happily married for 10 years.
Happily married.
Together 10 years.
Right. Together 10 years. Raise your hand right now if your partner could get into your phone without you being in the room. My hand's up.
My hand's down.
Mocha's hands up.
Why? Like,
I even, there's no reason to start arguments.
What do you have on your phone that you think Matthew would look at and
where would he go first?
Instagram.
Okay.
Good morning. How's it going? What's going on?
Good. I'm calling because I want to defend the whole phony the pillow thing.
Okay. Here we go.
What's your name?
I'm being honest. I'm doing this for 2 reasons. First, because I have a legitimate reason of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Also, I just met my wife at the GO station and she looked at me as soon as you guys talked about it.
Okay. What's your name?
So my name is Essen.
And how long have you been sleeping with your phone under your pillow?
So I've been doing this for a couple of years, but I have a legitimate reason of doing this.
Okay.
I had a son 2 years ago and everything, and I'm one of those people that sleeps with the TV on, basically. So I started watching TV on my phone and stuff when he was born because we didn't have the light to bother him. So eventually I realized that if I hold the phone in my hand, I won't go to sleep. But if I put it underneath my pillow and put like a stand-up comedy show or something and everything, it helps me sleep. So my phone doesn't have a lock or anything on it. I just want to be out there as well. My wife can go through it. And my son's smart enough now that he climbs up the bed in the morning and everything, and he reaches for the pillow, gets the phone under the pillow, and goes on sleep in the morning. So
you just need it for the noise.
Yeah, like it's just there. And don't get me wrong, my wife actually got me a pillow that has Bluetooth sound to it, so legitimately.
Oh my God.
You have a Bluetooth pillow?
Yeah, you can buy those nowadays. So. Yeah, my wife bought it for Christmas. I haven't set it up yet, but maybe one day I'll start using it.
Why don't you and your wife just get separate rooms at this point? Because it really doesn't sound like there's much else going on in that bedroom.
Like, we enjoy each other's company.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You guys are roomies.
No, it's just, you know what? I hate the fact that my wife puts headphones in her ear sometimes.
Yeah.
Because she's in the room and stuff. But I just don't like the feeling of having headphones in my ears when I'm going to sleep.
So you have a Bluetooth pillow? Wow, dude.
All right, Eston.
There's still legitimate reason.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day, man.
Take care.
Right, you take care.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Roz. Do I have a treat for you?
Oh, no.
So our very own Damon Mori is notorious for sending emails to artists that he likes asking for free stuff.
Oh God, we've gone over this so many times.
There's a new letter that I have, but before I read this new email that Dammit Maury sent to someone, let's revisit who he's written to in the past. An artist by the name of Damien Hirst, where within the letter asking for a piece of art, Dammit Maury said, I just wanted to send a fast note to let him know that I'm a massage fan.
Right.
I think you meant to write massive fan, right?
Yes.
Or to an artist named Jeff Koons, who Maury was hoping that this artist, Jeff Koons, would send him a little sculpture. And Maury says in the letter, I know when Andy Warhol was a little kid, he wrote Shirley Temple a fan letter, and she actually wrote back and sent him a gift. I know it doesn't have to be the 1920s to get a reply from someone you admire. My birthday is next week. I know I've yet to blown out my candles, but my wish is for a reply and maybe a nice gift from Jeff.
And a lot of the letters, too, that Maury writes when he's asking for free stuff all sort of follow the same pattern. And the one sort of prevalent thing is that he and Matthew as we're just a young gay couple trying to make our way in the city. We don't have a lot of money.
Oh, here's the best letter that he wrote to David Krakow, who Maury is looking for a specific piece of art called The Heart is All a Flutter.
Right.
After many follow-ups with the gallery in NYC that reps you and no reply, It's upsetting.
It's upsetting.
I love all of your work. It really moves me and speaks to us. The piece I wanted to surprise Matthew with was My Heart is All a Flutter.
Yeah.
Paper cut. He loves butterflies, and the heart is perfect for a wedding. However, after many attempts to contact the gallery with no reply, our money is all tapped out for the rings, photographer, hotel, and flights and suites. We're only two young guys.
All right, so, who did you write now?
Roz, as you know, in the past exactly 4 weeks, Damon Mori has been all about wine.
That's right. And like not only wine, but like a rosé, right, that you found, isn't it?
This is like a specific wine that I have fallen in love with. And I will only drink this wine.
And what is this wine?
This is by Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, Sophia Coppola, her wine.
Okay.
Sophia.
Okay. And what makes it so good?
No, it's Francis Ford Coppola, the director, has his own wine, and he named one of the wines after his daughter, Sophia.
Yeah, that.
Oh, of that. Okay.
So Damon Mori decides to send
a letter to Francis Ford Coppola
to the winery.
Oh,
are you ready for this?
To ask what? Can't you? This isn't like art.
You can't find this wine anywhere.
Oh, stop!
I've bought the only four bottles left in the city.
Yes, you've bought. Okay, I've bought. Go ahead, please.
So I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
With the spelling and grammatical errors all throughout.
I appreciate that.
Hey. Just had to write a fan letter about Sophia Wine and didn't know who else to write it to. So sorry if it's silly to write this. I've never found a wine that I've enjoyed with my family, husband, or anything. And then I went to the wine store in Toronto, and then in brackets, you can only buy wine at the government-run wine store, the LCBO.
Which is not true,
isn't it?
Go to the wine rack.
And saw the bottle of the 2013 Chardonnay and fell in love with it. So Parisian and epic. Congrats on making the perfect bottle of wine. What a liquid miracle on your end.
Ew.
Kind of like the discovery of penicillin, right?
What? Also, Liquid Miracle, my nickname in high school.
Shut up.
Continue.
Okay. Once we opened it at home with our friend for an early Christmas dinner, I was blown away. It was the greatest wine I've ever had. It was like heaven on earth and heaven.
It's like heaven on heaven? This is so good. It's like heaven on heaven?
If God made wine, I'm sure it would taste like this. I'm kind of a wine lover.
God did make wine. Read a Bible.
I collect some wine at home. I have a bottle of Madonna's wine.
Oh.
I often travel to Ontario's wine area known as Niagara-on-the-Lake for the spa and fudge. As they say, love the wine you're with.
Oh, my God.
I've since traveled all around town to snatch up the remaining bottles of Sophia, as I can't imagine the world on earth without it. It's really a shemding that we can't get any bottles of the red here. I wish I could try it. If only there was a way that I could get a bottle of the red.
Oh, if only.
I just had to let you know. No idea if there are any others I should try. I'm totally game to hear your suggestions, but I'm in love. Your newest friend, Mori.
Oh my God. Did they send you wine?
Nope.
No.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz, I'm about to hit you with some of the greatest shower thoughts I found on Reddit this morning. Randomness that goes on through your mind. And at the time, they totally make sense. And sometimes it's legit.
Yeah.
Other times, most of the times, it's just straight up nonsense.
Okay, here's
what I found. Shower thoughts on Reddit.
Okay.
The most unrealistic thing about Harry Potter is that nobody asks him if they can try on his glasses.
True. Totally true. And I just finished watching all the Harry Potters.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here's another one. The Harry Potter universe has potions that can literally regrow bones overnight. Yet apparently nothing can be done for Harry's eyesight.
Right.
If you have $10,000 and found a $20 bill in your pocket, it would be the equivalent of Bill Gates finding $180 million in his pocket. Why do baby clothes need pockets? What are they going to stick in there?
That's so true.
Contrary to what sitcoms portray, nobody actually watches football games whilst holding a football. The object of golf is to play the least amount of golf. The English language allows me to say, I don't know, without opening my mouth. Hum a low note, hum a high note, and then hum a low note.
Mm-hmm.
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 Dear everyone under 6 foot, the top of your refrigerator is dirty. Love, everyone over 6 foot.
That's so true.
I often wonder if anyone else feels at peace when they use a really great pen. Teachers have to be in school from the age of 4 until they retire. When you're tired at night, everything's funny. When you're tired in the morning, nothing's funny.
It's true.
The biggest step in any relationship is not the first kiss, it's the first fart. And finally, shower thoughts on Reddit from this morning. Yeah. If a cat could text you back, they wouldn't.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury brought this to me because he has a dilemma or some, I guess, like a situation that he's trying to figure out his next step.
Okay.
And the step is this. When you go to a wedding, as Maury did, when two friends got married, and you give them a gift, what did you give them? Cash?
You always put cash in an envelope.
That's how much cash?
It was like $150 each.
$150 each.
So it's $300.
Thank you for the math. $300.
Okay.
And this was, the wedding was how long ago?
Just over a year ago.
Just over 1 year ago.
Oh, okay.
They have since separated.
Oh, damn.
Okay. Maury feels that the money should be returned.
Mm.
Here's our thought, because Matthew is really upset about this.
Yeah.
When we give you money and you stay together for only a year, that money should be returned. You guys weren't together for long enough to warrant the money.
To warrant the money?
To earn the keep of
what,
the money.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. What is long enough? Because I know, unlike The Bachelor, when they get the ring at the end of it, they have to stay engaged or at least fake engaged.
6 months,
for,
right?
No, it's longer than that. Yeah, it's I think it's even longer than a year. You have to stay engaged or fake engaged within that window of time. And if you make it to that window, the ring is yours. If you break up before that window closes, then you have to return the ring. So you think that there should be, on all relationships and marriages,
especially if somebody puts $300 in an
envelope.
Don't
say it like that, like it's a huge deal, okay?
It's not like you get them 10 grand.
Okay. But $300, I mean, that's like a week's worth of money.
Okay.
You know? So $300 in an envelope.
Yeah, yes, I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, by the way.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
And obviously, we hope that you live together for a long time. But when it's only a year, you give the money
back. But do you
think
that that money is just sitting in an account somewhere that they could just refund it?
No, but if all of us...
So you want them to go into debt since they've broken up. They're already dealing with everything.
But we're giving you the money to build your future, to put towards your future.
Okay.
That $300 is supposed to go to your future.
Okay, I give you $300 to build a future, and you failed. I get my money back.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my opinion, Maury, like, that money is theirs.
Like, I don't
it's
think
gone.
We'd be upset if we gave you, like a casserole dish or something like that.
But then what happens to the casserole dish?
I mean, but that's a product. You probably would have used that together during the year. I'm talking about cash.
Okay, so it's just because you gave them money.
Earned cash.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs> So you gave them money. And so you think that a sort of dollar amount, a dollar gift, should be returned if the couple doesn't last, say, because it's been a year.
So three years
is the number that you would put on this.
Yeah, we feel cheated. Yeah. We feel like this was a scam just to make money.
Oh, my God. How much did they spend to get your $300?
Who knows? But Matthew's convinced it was like a whole scheme.
It was a scheme.
Yeah, let's get married to earn some cash.
They're grifters.
Really?
They were running a game.
I don't know. I don't think you can ask for the money back.
We should get a lawyer. We should get our money back.
Get a lawyer?
No way. Are you serious? Does he really think that?
Yeah, he is really. He's like, if I ever see these people in passing, I'm going to bring this up.
If you don't like them this much, why were you at their wedding?
We did, but then they only lasted a year, and he thinks that is how could
how many
you
times
only last
since
a
the
year?
Wedding have you seen them?
Never.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not getting that money back.
Yeah, great friends.
Fantastic. Great, yeah. Were you there for them during their marital problems?
Did they call and say, hey, I need your advice on some stuff?
I'm going,
Did you hear, before they actually officially broke up, did you hear about them maybe having problems? Did you?
No, on Instagram, everything looked fantastic.
Okay, hold on a second here. You're not really actually friends with these people, is what it sounds like.
We were at the wedding.
Okay, but you're not friends.
Friendly.
Yeah, you're not getting that money back, bro. Sorry, absolutely not. Have you followed up with them? Have you called them?
No, because not. Because then Matthew will grab the phone and get angry.
Question, did they tell you they broke up or did you find out that they broke up?
I heard it through the vine.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so they didn't even tell you.
Hey, Lou, go ahead.
I think Maury's just outrageous right now. Like, you physically can't do that. Like, you went and ate the food, you danced, you celebrated with those people, you had a great night with them, and they broke up. That's like, I don't know, going to the bank and saying, thanks for the loan, but hey, I want my money back after. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And they committed to going to that wedding.
Yeah, also the fact that they haven't seen that couple since that wedding, since that celebration, and they have not talked to them at all throughout the course of their marriage until it ended.
So what's he going to do? Be like, hey, shoot him a text and be like, hey, you guys want to go for coffee? Oh, by the way, you owe me $150 times two.
No, and did you come up with $150 per person because you read that in a book that covers your
meal?
That's
what we've done for any wedding we've ever been to. And we just feel like we would have been happy not to go to the wedding, but you guys were getting married and
why
not together.
Why'd you go?
Because we were invited and we felt obligated to go to the wedding and you're not together. So you return them.
Okay, here's a question. Prior to going to the wedding, prior to getting invited, how many times had you spent time with that couple? Did you guys hang out a lot?
Like three times.
Have you ever done a couples thing of where it is just you and Matthew and this couple?
No.
Okay.
I've had five friends divorced since this, and we gave about the same $300 an envelope. I'm not going to go and call them and be like, hey, guys, you're going through a lot of crap. Can I get my money back?
I'm not saying call them. I'm saying they exactly should find it in their heart to return the money.
No, absolutely not.
I'll tell you, Maury, their breakup and separation, the end of their marriage and their love, is not about you.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate, but we kind of want our money.
Right.
All right, we got to go. Thanks, Lou.
All right, no problem. Take care, guys.
Hi, Kiss 92.5. This is Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hi, it's Sonia.
What's up, Sonia?
Hi, guys. I am calling in because I just think it's absurd that people would scam and create a fake wedding to score $300.
Yeah.
Come on, Maury.
No, but it's not just my $300. They didn't invite only us. They would have gotten $300 for me and all 300 other people there.
You know what, though? I think that when you're invited to a wedding, at that point, whatever happens afterward, it's not really up to you or like to think in the future if something goes wrong. You went and you chose to go, right? And you know if you go, you have to give a gift. And you enjoyed the wedding and you had a date night out and that's it. It's done.
That's why I don't go to weddings anymore.
Save $300.
Oh, man.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive, and it's a weekend, and I don't really like you that much anyway. Yeah, and then you start getting into your friends that are getting married for like the second time.
Yeah, what do you do then, right?
Maybe send a card? Yeah, I was there the first time, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, just do this one with just family. Don't make a big to-do about it when it's your second wedding.
Yeah, I haven't been to one of those yet, but I can totally see your point of view. It's like, okay, you got me the first time.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do it a second time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You already ruined one weekend. you don't get to ruin two.
Thanks, Anya.
Saturday nights are precious. Yes. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Hello, Kiss 92.5. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, I like school.
Like school?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Shafour.
Cool, man. Yeah. Are you a boy or a girl?
I'm a boy.
You're a boy. Okay, no offense. It's very difficult to tell. How old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10. What do you like about school?
Only gym and science. Everything I hate.
Oh, I thought you just said you like school.
Only gym and science. Math sucks.
Oh, math sucks. Maury is clapping. You have a standing ovation from damn it, Maury in here. What's a math problem that you got stuck on so far this year?
Diagrams and all that. We have a test on it today.
You have a test on what today?
The diagram.
What diagram of what?
Like the lines and the pie.
Oh, like pie.
Yeah.
Would it make you feel better if we got Maury to do some math, who's a grown man?
Sure.
So what grade are you in?
Five.
five.
Grade five. So we'll do some. Okay. Okay, we're going to let you kids go, and we're going to do some grade five math with Maury, okay?
Okay.
Okay, brother.
Hang on, let me just...
You got a pen, more?
I have my red
hold
pen.
Hold on here. Let me find... I got to go to my... I have math problems for all grades here. Okay, let me go to my grade five file.
And let me get this set up. Okay, ready.
Do you want to test the other one?
Sure.
There you go. Okay, that's good. Both of them. Okay, I'll give you word problems, Maury. Word problems here. These word are from my grade five. Problems. Yeah, you can write word problems if you want to. That's
all right, fine. Sure.
Okay, Maury, the turtle at the zoo weighs 145 pounds. It is five times heavier than the baby turtle. How much does the baby turtle weigh?
Okay, baby, so...
So can I tell you real quick, just looking over Maury's shoulder?
Yeah.
He has two things written down. Number one, he has turtle.
Yeah.
And then right below that, he has baby turtle.
Okay. Maury, I think the important information here
is turtle and baby.
No. Is that one turtle weighs 145 pounds. That turtle weighs five times more than the baby turtle.
More.
Yes. So how much does the baby turtle?
Is five times less.
Ah.
And in there lies the problem.
Right.
Okay. Also the answer.
Hence what you wrote on the top of the page. Read the top of the page.
Word problems.
Thank you.
So 145 minus five times more.
Yes. Okay. Okay. What? 145 minus... Five times minus more.
More.
Okay, what is the more?
Five times five. So if we go.
Okay. So again, the turtle at the zoo weighs 145 pounds. It's five times heavier than the baby turtle.
150.
How much does the baby turtle weigh? Okay. So, Maury, so the big turtle weighs 145 pounds.
Yeah.
It is five times heavier than the baby turtle, which, according to your math, weighs 150 pounds?
Because I did 145 times five.
No, you did 145 plus five.
Which, you want to try again?
You want to try again?
Yeah.
Here, let me just play this for you real quick, just so you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Your answer was wrong.
Okay. Do you know how to get the answer to this problem?
It's either...
No, it's not either. It's one specific way.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking about 145 divided by 5, and you just pick one of those.
You'd pick one.
Because it's divided into 5, so you just pick one of the divisions of 5, one of the groupings.
One of the groupings?
Yeah.
So... I don't understand. Okay, let's just go with that right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And talk yourself through the through the math.
Plus 60.
Okay.
60 plus 60 is
60. Wait, where are you getting 60 from?
I'm just guessing at what it could be. Testing it out.
Oh, yes. Okay. You remember like in those movies when the old-timey guys in the big thick glasses and the skinny ties with the white dress shirts with no sleeves would stand in front of a chalkboard trying to figure out how to get a man in space?
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And they just had to come up with something. Like something. They got to break new ground. Maury right now is one of those guys. Just trying to break new ground. Just testing theories.
So if it's five times...
That is a lot of numbers on that paper, man. It looks like, speaking of space and trying to figure it out, you remember that one scene in Hidden Figures when Cookie from Empire was up on the ladder?
Yeah.
And she was drawing on the chalkboard, and everyone else, and the nerd from Big Bang Theory was standing there trying to figure it out?
Yeah.
And she was just writing all sorts of numbers and letters?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Maury's paper looks like right now.
Yeah.
35.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh.
So again, the problem was the turtle at the zoo weighs 145 pounds. It is five times heavier than the baby turtle. How much does the baby turtle weigh?
It's as if you had five baby turtles.
Right.
Except there's only one baby turtle.
Except there's only one baby turtle.
Right, but if you can determine the weight of the five baby turtles.
But there's only one. He's the only child.
But if you had five baby
no
turtles.
No siblings.
Okay. How many times does five?
Yeah.
If it weighs five times more.
Right.
Okay. So it weighs five.
5, 10, 15, 20, 20 by 30, 30 by 40, 40 by 50.
Stop.
50 pounds? 10 pounds? 50 pounds? It goes in 10 times? God. 50.
Finally. No.
Five,
if
10,
if
15,
I give
20,
you the
20,
answer,
30,
do you think
40,
you'll be
30,
able to
50.
Figure out how to get that answer?
Yes.
Okay. So if I say the answer might be 29, it might be 29.
I'd say you're wrong.
Okay.
Good morning. It's Kiss 92.5.
Oh, my God, man. I got to tell you, I failed grade 9 math 3 times, but listening to him trying to figure out 29 times 5 is 145 was so painful.
Maury, so do you get now why the answer is 29?
Because you told me.
No. But do you understand, even with, you have all the information right now, okay? You have that the big turtle weighs 145 pounds. It is 5 times heavier than the baby turtle. And the answer of to how much the baby turtle weighs is 29. Do you know how to get to 29?
29 plus 29 plus 29 plus 29 plus 29.
That's one way.
That's one way, I guess.
Well, I mean, if you have to get to the pizza shop, there are probably 5 ways to get there.
Okay, but do you understand how you get 29?
Yes.
How?
Now. No, I don't.
No.
Oh, but I know how to get now 145 with that 29.
No, okay, but what is that, what are you doing there?
How many times 5 goes into 145? It goes in 29 times.
But what kind of math is that?
Oh,
really hard math.
Hey, this is David, right?
Yeah.
David, awesome talking to you again, man. Thanks for calling in.
Anytime, guys. Right. It's hilarious.
We'll see if anybody else wants to help.
Hi, Kiss 92.5, Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hi, Mocha. It's Amanda.
What's up, Amanda? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was just listening to Maury struggle through that math problem. And I'm a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And
it made you want to quit your profession?
No. I love my job. I love what I do. But I feel like Maury can't do math with paper and pencil. I feel like Maury needs
a calculator.
Counters. No, he needs counters. I don't think he could find
out. Like an abacus.
Yeah, or like actually like beans, like counting out.
Beans.
One.
Oh, beans.
Okay.
So you think next time we do math with Maury, he should bring out a bag of beans?
I feel like he would be able to get there.
I used to do math like that with my Nana.
Okay. Well, listen, after the show today, you're going straight over to Bulk Barn, and you are stocking up on beans.
Okay.
I feel like that's the solution.
Okay, you know what? We always love talking to teachers because...
Hold on.
Yeah.
145 beans?
No, just a bag of beans. It's not. You're not always going to need 145 beans.
I feel like the bag of beans, Maury, might help for the future. Like, yeah.
Just take out one of those scoops at Bulk Barn and dip into the bin and get 5 large scoops
of beans,
and then we'll just have it in here
we'll
at all times.
Keep like beans here all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get you Maury and his
math
bag of beans. Yeah. Math beans. Okay.
Thank you, Amanda.
No problem. Have a good day, guys.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Stay indoors. If you are outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors, well away from windows. If you are driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building or lay on the floor. We will announce when the threat has ended. This is not a drill.
So that was the warning that was sent out in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening right now in the city of Toronto. You don't got to worry, people.
No. And the text message that went out to everyone was even sort of more ominous. And this went on for like 40 minutes. And what showed up on everybody's phone was ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And this went on for like 38 minutes. And then it turned out that it was, I guess, just a guy during a shift change hit the wrong button. And
where was the button?
I don't know.
Was it like on the wall next to the light switch that when he walked into the office, he was about to, he wanted to turn the lights on, but he hit the button by accident instead?
Yeah. And the shocking part of all of this is that they've said that they're going to implement now safeguards to prevent such a thing. Like they've just recently, after this weekend, included a cancel button that would immediately
they didn't have a cancel button?
So they had no cancel button. So you had watch these news stories, man. Like people were putting their children down storm drains And
with Pennywise?
With Pennywise, yes. Worth it. You take your chance. Take your chance with the clown, man. The clown or the bomb?
Pennywise, watch my kid for a second.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you have to give your children a fighting chance here, you know, and you have the choice between a ballistic missile or the Pennywise the clown in the storm drain, I'm having my kid fist fight Pennywise the clown for a while because I think that maybe he's got a better chance that than surviving the ballistic missile in the park.
Listen, son, just keep your hands up at all times. Protect your face.
But as they've said, the guy who actually, the worker, I don't know whether it was a guy or woman, the worker who pushed the missile alert button will not lose their job. They're just going to be reassigned because apparently it was just an honest mistake, and it was just such an easy mistake to make,
oh, no.
Which is what I don't understand.
I'm telling you, button on the wall next to the light switch.
Right?
Richard, what do you want to say, man?
So I was just reading the other day, apparently, this makes it even more funnier, because apparently, Mocha, you just said that, like, was the button by the light switch?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a two-part process. So there's pressing the button, and then there's, are you sure you want to do this? And the guy still did it. Yeah, it doesn't just happen with a button press. Apparently, if you press the button, then it's like a message pops up. Are you sure you want to send this? Absolutely, let's send it. So I thought that was a bit unique. It's like,
or is it one of those things where it was like on a computer and the guy double clicked the mouse by accident?
Yeah, here's what I imagine it would be like. And I'll tell you where I would destroy the world instantly. So, you know, on your mouse, on your computer, uh-huh. Right? So, you know, the roller that's in between the two buttons in the middle?
Yes.
I have a compulsion to push that, even though I know I shouldn't.
Oh, really?
I do. And I sort of just I finger around with it for a little while and like I touch it and I run. And then I even just like, I'm like, don't push it. Because then I get that other weirdo little thing on my screen. And then I'm like, oh, damn, I push it. So I have this compulsion to push that. And I prefer when a mouse doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Right. I would rather just go over to the side and drag the slider up and down. But that little roller thing in the middle of a mouse, I have to push it. Like, I just have to. When my finger's on it, my finger just wants to push that.
That's
like,
what she said.
Stop it.
That's what I right click all the time. Like, when my girlfriend's watching me do stuff, she's like, why do you keep hitting the right click button? I'm like, maybe I'm going to save a file or create a file.
Yeah.
All these files that I have.
All these files that I have. You don't know why I'm right clicking all the time.
Yeah, right click it. I might create a file. I might save it as it is. You know, so, I'm like, you find your own business.
So I understand that. I understand if there's a button on your desk and you just go into work every day and you're not allowed to touch it. You know, sometimes you just have to do it. Like it's not even anything that I don't know. It's just like a compulsion that you would just have to click the button.
I always have that too. Like if something sort of glitches, I always think the escape button will fix everything.
If there was a sign on the wall, right? Like just like a picture frame on the wall and you couldn't really tell what was in the picture frame and above the picture frame, there was a note that read, "This feels terrible. Don't ever touch it." Right?
I'd be licking it.
That's what I'm saying. I would touch. I would put my face on it. I'd be like, okay, how terrible are we talking here?
Yeah, How bad can it be?
And although a warning like that should prevent you from touching it.
Yeah. Same with those other warnings. Do not taste or
right.
Do not eat.
Like, yes. I would be like, wait for the coast is clear. I'd be pants down, putting a cheek up on it, standing on a chair, hoping a coworker doesn't walk in the room.
That's right.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much for calling in today, man.
Good morning, guys.
See you, dude.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
When it comes to falling asleep, especially when we work the hours that we work, and there's a lot of people that work some whack hours, falling asleep isn't always the easiest thing to do. And there's a whole bunch of different tricks, and I've read so much on things to do to help you sleep, help you fall asleep at the right times, when you should fall asleep. And the new thing that has come out now was, if you're a list writing type of person, mm-hmm. if you enjoy the process of writing a to-do list, mm-hmm. they say that the to-do list right before bedtime is one way that can help struggling sleepers fall asleep more quickly. So if you're the type of person who does have a to-do list, instead of writing it and making it a part of your day, they say to take that list and write it right before bedtime, preferably like while you're actually in bed.
Really?
It eases you.
You mean bring pen and paper to bed?
Yeah, just bring a pen and paper to bed with you, stick it in the nightstand, write your to-do list, and then slip it back in the nightstand. Because I think what winds up happening is
In the morning, you forget about it.
Well, okay, then set an alarm. I don't know, I can help you with everything. Jeez. Okay? But I'm just saying that because...
Plus, I write all my to-dos on my notes app in my phone.
That's not good.
And they say you're not supposed to look at your phone.
Don't bring your phone to bed.
Going to bed.
Right.
In our house, we still use Post-its for our to-do list.
Pen and paper. That's all you need. Because I think a lot of people go to bed thinking of all the stuff that they have to do. And it sort of, it's maddening at some point. So they say, just write down your to-do list before bedtime, and it'll put your mind at ease, and it will help you fall asleep. I write a grocery list every now and then.
Sure.
But I don't write a to-do list.
And how do you remember what to do?
Do you write a to-do list?
Yeah, because I'm almost 40. I'm going to forget things.
Brought your to-do list. Is this a legitimate to-do list?
This is a legitimate to-do list.
Do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
I think you should read it.
Okay, so do you want me to read you Maury's to-do list? Okay. This is a legit to-do list.
This is things to do.
Okay.
I know what a to-do list is. Okay. Is this for today or is this for the week?
This has been since Sunday. We haven't gotten to much on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Pick up cooked chicken and moisturizer.
Are the two like related? Like you the cooked chicken and the moisturizer for something?
This is one of those things where you put two things together and it makes something horrifying. Yeah. Cooked chicken on its own, totally fine. Moisturizer on its own, totally fine. But when the only things on your to-do list to pick up at the grocery store are cooked chicken and moisturizer, my head goes to a dark place.
That's so weird.
It's so gross. Okay, dry windows from condensation in the bedroom.
It sounds like y'all need some new windows.
Why are your windows so much condensation?
There's like puddles every morning.
Are you sweating a lot at night?
But maybe that's what it is.
Why do you have to put that on the to-do list? Like, if you see that there's constipation on the window, why don't you just grab a paper towel and go wipe it off?
This is so I don't forget.
Okay. Move toilet paper rolls to the guest bathroom. Again.
Do it at that moment.
Just do it.
You don't live in a 60,000 square foot home. Yeah. You live in a tiny downtown Toronto condo.
Okay, next up on Maury's to-do list.
20 steps away.
Moisturize feet in sock.
Sorry, what?
Okay, explain this. What is moisturize feet in sock?
I rub cream and foot butter on my feet and put it back in my sock.
But I also know from point number one, which was pick up cooked chicken and moisturizer, that you can't do point four before you do point one.
Wait, you don't use the cooked chicken for something that has to do with the lotion on your feet?
No, my feet do not go in the cavity of the chicken.
Okay. moisturize feet in sock. Make appointment with H&R Block to finish 2016 tax.
You 2 years later. Okay.
And then, of course, call Nana to confirm Passover in April. Are you confirming Passover dinner or are you confirming Passover?
Passover dinner.
Passover dinner in April. Okay, so to reiterate.
Is it still happening?
So as Mocha said, a lot of these shouldn't wind up on a to-do list. A lot of these things should just be done when you think of them. Bringing toilet paper to the guest bathroom when you live in 400 square feet should not wind up on a list. It should just be something that you do.
You
could probably throw it into the bathroom from wherever you are.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was watching This Is Us last night.
Mm-hmm. I'm not emotionally ready yet.
To what? To watch This Is Us?
That show, yeah.
Yeah?
We've stayed away. Both my wife and I stayed away from that show. When the commercials come on, my wife is like, change the channel.
Yeah. Are you going to watch it though? You got plans to
eventually,
watch it?
Eventually,
our favorite show in our house, but we don't look at each other when we cry.
Right.
Cry every episode?
Every single one.
But I'll tell you though, season one was dope. Like season one out of the park. It was just so great. Mm-hmm. I don't find season two, or at least this half, the last couple episodes, to be nearly as emotional as season one.
I think it's the relationship between them and the mom that makes me cry, and the dad, because...
The dad's awesome.
The dad's awesome. It's always the parents and the kids stuff that makes me cry.
But I don't like the actor guy's storyline, really. Kate's driving me nuts now on the show. This is all stuff that's going to make sense one day, Mocha.
Okay.
But I was having a conversation with Maury yesterday, because Maury was like, I just can't wait to find out until you learn how the dad died.
Spoiler alert!
But we already know.
We know that.
You hadn't figured it out. How did you not have figured it out yet?
I think that deep down
Wait, does this happen like this season?
What? The dad died. You know the dad dies early on that you just don't know how. And they're dragging it out now for a season and a half of television.
Oh, guys.
But they've said in interviews that we're going to find out this season.
But we already know. They've already told you everything you need to know about how the dad dies. Put your earmuffs on for a second, Mocha. Because anybody, I can explain it to Mocha. I'm going to explain it to Maury for a second.
Oh, guys, come on.
Okay. We know everything that we need to know. And we found it out in season one.
But I think that I just wanted to learn like everyone else. I didn't want to.
But they already set it all up. Which is the house catches on fire. Okay. The house catches on
fire.
Just
spell it out.
The house catches on fire. You want me to spell out like a paragraph here? The house. T-H-E-H-O-U-S-E-C-A-T-C-H-E-S. Because
then Mocha won't know.
O-N-F-I-R-E-T-H-E-D-A-D-G-O-E-S-B-A-C-K-I-N-T-H-E-H-O-U-S-E. TOSAVTHETDOG.
Tosavagaka?
No, to save the dog.
Oh.
That's why Kate feels responsible for the dad's death, is because Kate has this stupid dog and they pump the dog up in the relationship. What? K-A-T-E H-A-S.
I know how to spell.
T-H-E S-T-U-P-I-D-D-O-G A-N-D-T-H-E-D-A-D-G-O-E-S I-N-T-H-E-H-O-U-S-E A-N-D-D-I-E-S.
What's the last word?
Dies! Oh. Spoiler alert! Come on!
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So talking about things that dominated your youth that maybe you don't take into your life as an adult. And yesterday, Mocha brought up something that I haven't thought about, let alone said, in years, decades, which was fluff.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, fluff is it's a marshmallow spread.
Yeah, you find it in the aisle where you find like honey and peanut butter and other jelly spreads.
And people put it on bread. And I found out also that fluff is like pre-World War I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how old fluff is. And then fluff got us to the classic Cheese Whiz, which I remember going home from school and it was Cheese Whiz on toast until my parents got home. Cheese Whiz was my life. And Maury had never had Cheese Whiz.
No, this is the first time I've ever held it in my hand.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Read the ingredients on that for me.
Oh, dear.
Tell me if cheese is on there.
Okay, so we had mortified.
Mortified?
Man, listen, do you need if that's the first ingredient in anything.
Okay.
Sorry, you just mortified. Do not eat.
Here, Maury, use my flashlight, you blind.
And you got new glasses, too.
I know.
Modified milk ingredients, water, milk ingredients, modified milk ingredients, bacterial culture, salt, calcium, chloride, color, macrobiome, enzyme, lipase. Corn.
Lupus.
Corn. Yes. Maltodextrin.
Yeah.
Ground mustard seasoning. Contains celery. Lactate acid. Sorbit acid. Color may be omitted. Oh. Thordor.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Okay, yeah. Okay, so yeah, Mordor is in there.
From Lord of the Rings.
Now, that doesn't mean it's not delicious, but obviously, Cheese Whiz, I did not see cheese as an ingredient on there. Again, that does not mean it's not delicious. Now, did you bring in toast? Because toast is very important. What is
that? I have white bread.
White bread? What are we, poor? Maury?
Dude, it was cheaper.
It's toast. Why didn't you make toast?
Yeah, because I don't know. I just got the bread. I assumed that you just spread it on bread.
No, we specifically said Cheese Whiz on toast. I said, Maury,
bread
toast.
And toast are the same thing.
No, it's not. Now, if you don't like this, I'm blaming the bread. And the bread only. Okay, give it a sniff.
What does it smell like?
Feet?
Feet, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Okay, go for it now. Okay.
Oh,
don't
God,
get that on the
is
microphone,
a
Maury.
Big glob of Cheese Whiz.
That is
Whiz.
A big, oh, it looks so delicious, though. Okay, so just spread it around there. What do you, how does it spread?
It's like.
Does it spread evenly? Does it spread
it's
nicely?
Like cheese butter.
Yeah, it's like cheese butter. Yeah, you're right. It's just like cheese butter. You don't need to, no more. Just one piece. You don't need to make a sandwich. What are you doing?
I can't remember the last time I've buttered something, so I'm not used to this.
Well, just eat it. You don't need to do two.
I thought it was like a sandwich.
I said not a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
What do you think of Cheese Whiz for the first time?
This is the greatest thing I've ever had.
It is, huh? So describe it, though, because I forget how cheese was taste.
It's as if you're tasting butter on bread.
Yeah.
But suddenly it's cheese.
Man, that made no sense.
That made no sense.
In other words, it just tastes like cheese that's on bread?
Yeah.
I guess kind of like melted cheese.
Do you eat like that at home? Do you eat like that at home?
Like what?
That loud?
Is that loud?
Yeah. Very.
I would say that's loud. Oh. I would describe that as loud.
Oh, well, I always eat alone, so nobody's ever told me.
It's probably also the answer to so many of the problems in your marriage. So you like that, though.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, okay, now on to fluff. It's not breakfast time. We're experimenting here.
You're not at the buffet. Going back for seconds. All right.
Who's eating fluff? Are you eating fluff?
I guess.
Oh, Maury, too.
So right out of the gate, here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
This jar of fluff weighs nothing.
Oh, really?
And it's a brand new jar.
And it's
Feel
a big jar.
Here.
Hold on.
7.5 ounces.
Okay. Yeah, it weighs nothing.
Right?
Yeah, marshmallow fluff. There you go. Okay.
All right. So I've never had fluff before.
So fluff is marshmallow, and like I was saying, a guy invented it like pre-World War I, and then I think that he sold the patent off for $500 to two dudes who wanted to build a fluff empire. So it's weird to me that you would put this on bread because it's so sweet, but I guess you do that with jam and stuff like that.
Celery?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
It's thick?
Oh, this is exactly like what happens.
It looks it looks like you're icing a cake right now.
Totally. It's very like sticky.
It smells like marshmallow.
Well, yeah, because it's marshmallow. Imagine when you're roasting a marshmallow and you get it on your finger. It's almost impossible to get off.
Yeah.
Okay, so more. How do you find that? How do you find the fluff to spread?
It's virtually impossible to spread.
Okay. Okay, so both of you. 3, 2, 1, fluff.
No. It tastes like glue.
Okay, so.
Okay, Mocha, go ahead.
Okay, so I don't like it.
No,
it's very pasty.
But pasty? When you mean pasty, what do you mean? Like actual paste or?
Yeah, it instantly dries in my mouth.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be moist. Take another bite. Take another bite.
Okay.
Okay, Mocha's going in for bite number two now. Big bites too. Congratulations.
Mm. Yeah, for shame. Dry.
Dry? Okay, Maury, going for bite number two on fluff.
Mm. It tastes like melted plastic.
Yeah?
That's not very good.
I'm going to go back to the cheese.
It's not good. You got to go back to the cheese whiz to...
that is good.
To cleanse the palate.
That's not good.
You know?
Nah, I think I'm good with fluff.
That is...
It's not good.
That is some kind of life. When you have to clean your mouth out of fluff with cheese whiz... Something in your life went real wrong, man.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I realized something over the weekend when we did a birthday party for Roxy, which is sort of every generation has their own way of doing things. And have you heard how kids sing happy birthday now?
No.
Where they add cha-cha-cha to it?
Where?
So it goes like this. Turn this down for a second because I find this distracting if I'm going to perform. So it goes like this. When kids sing happy birthday now, they go, happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha, happy birthday.
What?
Yes, I'm telling
no,
you.
They
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, they add cha-cha-cha to happy birthday, and I don't know when that happened.
Who decided to change
it? I don't know. I don't know when that even became a thing.
Is that what's happening in schools these days?
Yes, right?
We need to talk to somebody.
I know. Kathleen Wynn. See ya.
Justin Trudeau. Nice, nice hair, though.
So I don't know when that became a thing.
So they add cha-cha-cha after every time they say happy birthday?
They do. Like, here, watch. I'll show you. Maury, come in for a sec.
And even after they sing the person's name?
Yes. And then at the end of it, they do the are you one, are you two, are you three. Do you know that part?
I've heard people do it.
Okay. And then when I get to your age, then you yell stop and then you blow out your candles.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like happy birthday is a whole giant production right now. Like it's a whole huge production. So this is what they do. So you do the happy birthday part, Maury, and then I'll be the cha-cha-cha part just so I'll show you how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and go.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to
you. Why do you sound so weird?
I don't know. What do you mean?
What is it? Why do you sound
can you just
so
sing
weird?
Normal?
I am. Happy birthday to you.
Cha cha cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha cha cha.
But that's how. And then when you get to the end, they go, "Are you one? Are you two? Are you three?
And Dan
are
Moore's you four? Case, you have to go all the way up to like 43.
Yeah, and then on,
before he's like, "Stop, stop, God, please stop."
Okay, and then I'll play you this one, which Roxy was obsessed with and found a 1 hour version of it on YouTube
of Happy Birthday.
No, of this birthday song. So listen to this one.
It's your birthday today. It's your birthday today. There's a cat licking your birthday cake. It's your birthday today.
Gross.
It's your birthday today.
Today.
Everybody say hooray.
Hooray.
There's a cat licking your birthday cake. It's your birthday today.
Yay.
He can't read, so he does not know that the cake is not for him.
No.
It might be his birthday too, but the chance of that is slim. It's your birthday today.
Okay, so.
It's your birthday today.
For an hour, this was going on in my house.
Why does
on my
the cat
birthday.
Not being able to read have to do with the cat licking the cake?
Because the cat is licking the birthday cake because the cat doesn't know that the cake isn't for him.
But wouldn't the cat know that it's for him?
No, but the cat, the cake isn't for him.
But that's my thing. So what reading? Oh, because it would be the words on top of the cake.
Right. But the cat can't read. So the cat doesn't know that the cake's not for him. Anyway, cha-cha-cha. I don't know when birthdays for kids change so much. Everything's different now.
Happy birthday to you.
never sing anyone happy birthday, cha-cha-cha.
KS92.5, Roz and Mocha.
Oh my God. I'm having a fangirl moment right now.
What is your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, what's going on?
It's my birthday today, so it would be the greatest birthday gift if you guys sang happy birthday to me.
Oh, okay. So Sarah, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
All right, so Sarah, you want a new school happy birthday? Where you say happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha?
No cha-cha-cha.
Okay.
Sorry, Maury.
Oh.
Maury was looking forward to doing the cha-cha-cha.
I'll turn your microphone off. Right?
Okay, here we go.
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Stop it.
Happy birthday, dear.
I don't remember
Sarah.
Your name, Sarah. I love
turning
you, though.
26
turning 26
today.
Why does Mocha remember every bloody thing
because
that anyone ever
I'm
says
awesome.
Who ever calls into this show?
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, guys, that was awesome.
Tell me. Roz and Mocha Q&A.
I love this part of the podcast.
I sure do. We do an Ask Roz and Mocha, mainly on Instagram. It really takes off on Instagram, I find. Where you can just ask us anything you want, and then we'll go through and we'll find somebody to join us here on the podcast to ask their question with us. And Emily Pickles, or Emily Pickless, sorry, is joining us right now.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha podcast.
Thanks. I'm super excited.
Cool. So what's your deal? How old are you?
I'm 23.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of the show. I watch it I listen to it every day for my commute to work. So I'm a huge fan.
And what is your question?
So the question I have is for all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It is, what would you say what has been your best age or year so far?
What would you say has been your best year or age so far?
Roz, we're going to start with you.
Okay. I'm going to say to you what I tell my kid all the time when my kid asks me what my favorite age has been that she has been. And I always say the same thing, which is the age that you are right now. Your age right now and how old you are right now is my favorite age that you've ever been. This year right now is my favorite year that I've had with you. And I will say that about myself too, which is my favorite age and favorite year has been this year.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, 100%. I would say my favorite age right now, I'm 43. I'm going to say 43. I've had other favorite ones, but the one I'm in is usually tops. You know, it just sort of works out that way. I don't want to be like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, you know, where next thing I know,
a sweet man.
No, next thing I know, you know, I'm trying to get back to 1989 and, you know, I'm hooked up to a time machine I bought on the internet, you know, electrocuting my balls, right? You know?
Hanging on to remember that football dream.
So yeah, so I sort of pushed myself forward to not dwell. What about you, Mocha?
I would have to say my favorite year so far is 2017, because that was a year that my son, our first kid, was born. So yeah. Definitely a big year. Most memorable year is definitely 2017.
What do you mean your first kid?
Because we plan on having more.
Oh, okay. But there's no announcement to make.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Now.
I know. Yeah, you would make that on the podcast. You make that on the big show. damn it, Maury.
So is it favorite year and age or just one?
You can do one or the other.
So, because I was going to say when I turned 19, because I'll never forget, because I was allowed to drink.
Uncle Rico.
I went to fly, and I was dancing and just picking up, and it was just like, it was a carefree year.
Do you wish you could go back to that year?
Who wouldn't?
so not the year that you met who is now your husband, Matthew.
No.
Not the year that you proposed to Matthew on stage at a Mariah Carey concert. And not the year that you actually married Matthew in New York City, but when you turned 19 years old to go to a club called what?
Fly. He's not going to listen to this. And,
dance with no shirt on the top of a speaker.
Oh, man.
Emily, thank you so much, hon.
Thanks, guys. You're the best in the city.
Oh, we love you. All right, Roz, so just having got your license in the summertime, for the first time, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's a question from the F11 P11 on.
Instagram is so stupid.
Right? Yeah. If you could have any car in the world, what would it be and why?
Wow. I'll tell you, I've been thinking a lot about cars lately, and I've come to the conclusion that every single car is ugly and I don't want to drive any of them.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why. Here's what I don't understand about cars, and maybe you can help me with this.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know why. Like, you may like the look of a Porsche.
Sure.
Right? I like the look of a Porsche. It's a sexy car. Aesthetically, we've all agreed that a Porsche is a sexy car. What I don't understand is why they don't make like a Honda Civic to just look like a Porsche. Because I don't necessarily need to go 325 kilometers an hour. So why deliberately make cars ugly when you can go out of your way to make them sexy? I don't know why it is such a divide between sexy cars and just plain, ugly, normal, basic automobiles.
So you would like a Honda Civic but looks like a Porsche.
Yeah, or like we could even go back and say Ford Tempo. You know what I mean? Like if I could get a Ford Tempo looked like something hot, something cool, I might want to drive that. But as it is right now, I just drive a 2010 pickup truck.
So your dream car is what now?
I don't. All cars are ugly. I've come to the conclusion.
Why don't you just pick a look car?
All cars are ugly. All cars are ugly. I don't know why they're so ugly. What would you drive if you could?
Oh, easy. DeLorean.
DeLorean. Yeah. Oh, good call.
Because of Back to the Future.
Because of Back to the Future. Great car.
Damn it, Maury. If you could drive any car in the world, what would it be?
I would love nothing more than the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. So are hers.
How appropriate.
Here we go with this one now. Malin Amastro Marco. Malin Amastro Marco. This is from Instagram. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die?
Oh, man.
That's a terrible question. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die? Obviously, when.
Yeah, I'd like to know when. Because if I knew how, then for the rest of my life, I would just be like, okay, when's this damn thing happening?
Yeah.
If you knew how, couldn't you prevent it?
No, like what? No, because what if somebody said this to you, Maury? You will die slipping on the floor in a bathroom.
Then I'll never go in the, like, I guess.
Any bathroom. You would avoid any bathroom at that point for the rest of your life. You'd have a bucket in your backpack. And you'd be forever explaining to people why you have to pee outside when you're out for dinner. Wouldn't you want
to
know when
you're getting close to that? You're going to be looking all around you worried.
Right, right. And also, we're not going to say when. Let's not ruin this and say specifically when, like, you know, October 28th, 2027. We're just going to say 2027 and mess up your whole year.
Oh, man. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
What would you prefer, Mocha? Would you prefer to know when you're going to die or how you're going to die?
When? Not how.
Not how.
No,
how
that would haunt me.
Yeah, because, like, what if they said in a car? You know?
Then I'd never want to drive again.
You'd never go in a car.
Or I'd never get in somebody else's car at all.
They specifically tell you if it was a car on this intersection so that you'll never drive through that intersection.
No, just
again.
How is dying in a car accident?
Oh my God, that's too
freaky. Or what if they said this, Maury? What if they said, if you were like, okay, I want to know how I die, not when I die. And they went like this, eating.
I'd be like, eating what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. No.
You don't want that information. Every week we'll do an Instagram Ask Roz and Mocha post, so make sure you're following at Kiss925. Simply ask your question, and we'll try to answer it on next week's podcast, or even have you join us on the show like we did with Emily.
Before we go, Mocha, yes. Kitty Van Cat wanted to know, if you were in the WWE, what would your wrestling name be?
The Brown Meanie.
Okay, there we go. Done.
Duh.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss925.
Kiss925.com
or on the Kiss925 app.